First of all, I just want to say a very special thank you to Trevor and Cheryl, to Peter and Jade, and to Brendan and Haley for allowing us to go and burn some of their farm on Friday night with the youth. It was an awesome night. The bonfire was maybe about a quarter of the size of this room, and the kids had a fantastic time. So it is very much appreciated, guys. We love coming up there, and we had a great time. And the youth group in Gympie that came down and joined us, I loved it as well. So we had about 40 people there all together, which was great. So please keep praying for that. That's great. Ed Youth today, over here on the side, we're selling some soup because the kids are raising money to help to support some of our Indigenous youth. So we've got $1.50 for a cup, about the size of a coffee cup, or you can put it in a container, which has got a lid on it, and there's about six different varieties of soups there, so you can go and check it out. So a special thank you to all the people who cook those soups. They're just awesome, and we appreciate all the time and effort you put into it. We did say if you want to take four containers home, you can do that for $5, and that would be great if you're looking to take something home for lunch as well. So please support that. That would be great. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that if Jesus was to come back again this morning, he would want to find a church that is on fire for God. A church that was walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. A church that was having a massive impact on the local community for him. I wonder what he would make of our church if he came along. I'd like to think that he'd be stoked by the hearts and the attitudes of the people in our church, and that he would find a church that really is on fire for God and really does walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But I guess we want to test that this morning, because if there's any way that we can grow deeper in our relationship with God, then we need to do that. If there's any way that we can get closer to him and allow him to have a great impact in our life, we need to do that. If there's any way that we can allow him to reach out through us into this community and have a greater impact, we need to do that. A church that's on fire for God is made up of individuals who are also on fire for God and walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. People whose lives are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, fruitful in ministry and in character. You've met people like this. I've met people like this here in this church and elsewhere. And I remember thinking and praying, yes, Lord, I want to have a life like that. I want to give you that much pleasure. I want to know you more and to be more like you. I want to bear much fruit in ministry for your glory. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Or something similar? Well, I've got good news for you, because today's the day. God is in the life-changing business. He's here this morning in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's itching to get to work. The question is, are you ready for it? The moment you received Christ, the Holy Spirit not only came to indwell you, but he was imparted, or he imparted to you spiritual life, causing you to be born again as a child of God. The Holy Spirit also baptized you into the body of Christ. In Corinthians 12:13, Paul explains, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. This first happened on the day of Pentecost. And just as John the Baptist had proclaimed in Matthew 3:11, and Jesus had promised in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, so Jesus came baptizing in the Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Spirit as Pentecost, so that we would not be left as orphans, that we would be dwelt by the Spirit of God, so that God would be living in us and through us and with us in all things. There is but one indwelling of the Holy Spirit, one rebirth of the Holy Spirit, and in evangelical circles, one baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of which occur at when you become a Christian, when you receive Christ. I know my Pentecostal brothers and sisters will probably differ with me on that last point in terms of the timing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in my opinion, and I stress my humble opinion, it is more scriptural to consider that what you would be referring to, and certainly what I believe I experienced back in 1985, was a significant infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. In the New Testament, Christians are challenged and commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And it states in Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." The illustration of a person whose whole body has been affected by wine is used to describe how the Spirit of God, who indwells every believer, can extend his ministry and his power to all aspects of an individual's Christian life. The filling of the Spirit is not getting more of the Spirit, but it's a question of the Holy Spirit empowering and getting control of us. In contrast to the permanence of the new birth and the indwelling Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit is a repeated experience. And this is why when Ephesians 5:18 is translated literally, it actually translates, "keep being filled." Keep being filled. So Peter, who was filled on the day of Pentecost, was said to be filled again in Acts chapter 4, verses 8. The martyr Stephen was filled with the Spirit before he was killed in Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Paul and Barnabas were filled with the Spirit on a number of occasions. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, chapter 11, verse 24, chapter 13, verses 8 to 52. So what characterizes the life of a Christian who is constantly and continually being filled, that is, controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit? Someone who is walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what the Scripture has to say. We'll start with John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. I've got about four or five little passages here, and I'm reading all of them from the New Living Translation. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because he isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later," meaning at Pentecost, "will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." So Jesus there is talking about the day of Pentecost and what comes beyond, a promise that was for all believers, that we would receive the person of the Holy Spirit into our lives to come and live with us, and that that would be an experience that was for us specifically as Christians, so that we would not be orphaned, because Jesus was ascended up into heaven. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. He was no longer to be here on the earth, even after his resurrection. He was only here for a short while, and he ascended up into heaven. It's the person of the Holy Spirit, is the Trinity, the Spirit of Jesus, if you like, who lives in us and is with us. God living in us. What an amazing concept, you know. We as Christians, we're not saying that there's some kind of force or some kind of power that just operates through us. We're talking about a person. We're talking about the living God who lives in us and with us, in a relationship with us. What a privilege it is. John chapter 15, verses 5 to 9 says, "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So you can see there the scripture is saying that someone who's walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is someone where the fruit of the Holy Spirit is evident in their life. God's character is shining through their life. And not only that, but there is fruit and power operating in their ministry. So when they're serving God, God is using them to impact people's lives. Are you remaining in Christ? Do you spend the time in his word each day? Do you talk to him each day? Do you confess your sin to him? Do you acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour? Do you yield those areas of your life that you know that he's looking at? Is there power in what God is doing in your life and through it? Is there fruit? Is God's character being produced in your life? Is there fruit in the ministry that he calls you to do? Because if you're walking in the fullness of the Spirit, the answer to all those will be yes. And if not, maybe we've got to do something about it. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Here we see another characteristic of someone walking in the fullness of the Spirit. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." My question to you is, you know, when I read in the scripture, in other instances, people filled with the Holy Spirit had a boldness and a courage and a confidence to say, "Yes, I know who Jesus is. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. Yes, I want to tell you about it, and I'm happy to do it if you're prepared to listen." Is there power in your witness? Is there that confidence? Galatians chapter 5. There's a few verses here, but first one, first of all, says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." Verse 13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." I guess my question to you is, how free do you feel? How free are you this morning? Do you have a sense of that joy that comes with having that freedom of the relationship that you have with the Father? I'm not talking about a freedom that the earth talks about, that the world talks about, that says you can do and think anything that you like and it doesn't matter, and there are no boundaries and no consequences. That's not freedom. That's bondage. That hasn't got the world anywhere, has it? Freedom is knowing that a loving Saviour has set the boundaries by which we can operate because we know that it's safe, because it's right, because it's the best thing for us. And he calls us to love others into that same relationship. That's freedom. That's the freedom that we have in believers in Christ. Oh, always got to laugh. I used to have a principal at Calandra Christian College, John, and now David Robson. And David was an interesting character, but he used to walk in on a morning and we'd all gather around because we'd pray. We'd get three families from the school community. We'd pray for every morning, three different families as a staff, and we'd worship God together, and he'd walk in. And to start it off, he'd go, "Are you free?" like this, and everybody would go, "Oh, here we go." And he'd start singing, "Are you free? I'm free, I'm free, I'm free to be a servant of the Lord." And then in the middle he'd go, "Are you free?" And all I could ever think of was John Inman, you know. And so I burst out laughing, and I'm sure it wasn't appropriate in the middle of worship, but anyway. But are you free? It's a fair enough question. Are you experiencing freedom in your Christian walk? Do you enjoy it? Is there victory in the things that you've been praying about and talking to God about? Galatians 5, verse 16 to 25. Or walking in the Spirit, it talks about. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And if the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful, and the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under any obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. You have this war going on inside of you. You have the sinful nature pulling at you and saying, this is what life should be like. Unfortunately, if it is not what the Spirit of God is saying to you, then these things I've just read out is where it's leading. It's fleshly. It stinks. In fact, it's rotting. It's not of God, and we really shouldn't want it part of our lives. Let me tell you again, it says, let me tell you again as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and we know this verse very well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against things. These things are the character of Christ in us when we allow the Spirit of God to have reign in us, when we live a life that's yielded to the Spirit of God. These are the things that God produces in us. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And left them there, if I wanted to add something. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's Paul exhorting the Galatians, but us stand through the ages, to live by honouring God, by living according to the Spirit, by allowing God to develop his character in us. Is the fruit of the Spirit becoming more evident in your life? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus? Is it the desire of your heart to do so? Unfortunately, although all Christians are equally saved, not all Christians are equally filled with the Spirit. And I'll qualify that by saying because we have that battle in us and we have that choice to make. Do I serve myself or do I serve God? If I serve myself, that leads to fleshliness. It stinks, it's rotting, and I will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. I will not be walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I will not be able to be effective and fruitful in any form of ministry that I'm conducting. But is it that that fruit is evident in our life? Is it that we will not put out the Spirit's fire? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And again in Ephesians 4:30, we're commanded, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Because when we sin, when we harbour a resentment and unforgiveness in our hearts, when we make choices according to the sinful nature, then we grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't lose the Holy Spirit. It's not like Old Testament times where the Holy Spirit came upon people and was lifted off people according to whatever the function that God wanted them to perform at that time. We have a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ that is never rescinded and never taken away. But what is the difference is, does that Holy Spirit, does the Spirit of God have complete dominion in our lives? Are we allowing Him to use us and to mold us and shape us? Are we trusting Him completely? And are we seeing Him work in and through our lives so that He is the complete master, the Lord, the boss of our lives? That's walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Not everybody does. And that's why we say that not everyone is equally filled. But we can be. We can be, but it's a choice. Well, this happens to everybody. Everybody struggles with this. Nobody is perfect. It says in the scripture that we'll have this battle raging on in us until the day that we go to be with the Lord or until Jesus comes again. The great promise is in Philippians 1:6 that He says that He that began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is still at work in us. He hasn't given up on us. He will keep chipping away and keep prompting, keep gently calling us and persuading us and encouraging us just to yield every aspect of our life to Him so that we might walk in the fullness of His Spirit. So when it happens, and it might be happening to you right now, the question is, what will you do about it? The remedy for this situation, if you find yourself in it, and I believe you will, the remedy is confession. It says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and righteous and just, He will forgive us of our sins and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will take that impediment away. He will wash it clean through, as He's done through the cross already. We just need to claim that and appropriate that to that aspect of our life. If we do that, then those impediments will be removed and we can be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:1 tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God as our spiritual act of worship. When we do this again and again, this should be a daily experience of acknowledgement of who God is, of acknowledgement of our sinfulness, confessing and asking the Holy Spirit to search us and to find if there's any way in us that is offensive to God, and confessing that to Him and asking Him to help us to repent, to turn away 180 degrees from that. We need to be doing this all the time, every day. Every time we do something that we know dishonors God, we need to come to Him and say, God, forgive me. Don't try and hide it from God. There's no point in that. He sees everything. I just don't see the point. You may as well just fess up and say, God, help me. I need your help. And when you do, you know, God will meet you where you're at. He will come right to where you are at. He won't expect you to reach some kind of height or level. He will come to where you are at and He will meet you and He will help you, because that's the kind of God that He is. Now, you've probably been wondering what I've got under this towel here. Okay, so I probably should take you out of your pain of worry. Okay. I've got just a few little props here, which might give a little bit of illustration of what I've been talking about. Okay? So what I've got here is I've got a glass jar. Alright? And this jar has got air in it, and it's got stones in it. Okay? I picked them out of the garden. Now, this is to represent your life. Okay? So I'll take these just away so you can see a little bit better. To represent your life. And what I would say to you is that the stones in it are areas of your life that God wants to work on. The air that's in it is your sinful nature. Okay, and before you are born again of the Spirit of God, before you even know who Jesus is and he becomes part of your life, this is what your life is like. You exist, you are a spiritual being because you're made in the image of God. But you're dead to God because you're spiritually dead. And what happens is that God, in his mercy, when you turn to him and you recognize your need of salvation, God, in his mercy, he comes along and he receives you. He forgives you through the work of Jesus on the cross. He resurrects you into new life through the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. And the amazing thing is, he doesn't just leave you to battle it out. He comes and he makes his home with you. And what you're witnessing is coming alive spiritually to God as you are filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. God has baptized you. He has indwelt you. You are born again of the Spirit of God. You now stand righteous before God. You now are in a relationship with the Creator of this universe. You now have unlimited power and resource to live a life that's worthy of the calling that's upon your life. But you know, there comes a time when people battle with this. And, you know, that's where many of us are at this point as Christians, maybe even new Christians. There's still lots of things happening in our life that need to be worked on, but you know, we've yielded ourselves to God. He's filled us with his Holy Spirit. You know? But as time goes by, we might battle with some issues a bit. And we might have some unconfessed sin and different things that we're not prepared to let go of. And we start to quench the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we tend to lose our nature of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the beauty of it is, if we come to God, we confess these things, you know, God might just say, hey, how about we work on this one? And you say, yes, Lord, we'll work on that one. And then he might say, okay, another time, let's work on this one. That's a little bit bigger, that one. You know, not always big things. He might even be saying, I want to touch on this bit, you know, because we've talked about that one. You often just sort of put that to the side because you don't think it's very significant. Well, there might even be something that you've been battling with for most of your Christian life. And it might be a big one. But you know, God can deal with all of them as we yield it to him. You know, the amazing thing about this is as he works on those aspects of our life, and we confess them to him, he fills up our life again with the Spirit of God, so that yet again we can be filled with the Spirit and we can be walking in the fullness of the Spirit. But you know, the interesting thing is that this time there's a few less stones in the jar and our lives looking just that little bit more like Jesus and God's character in our life. And that's an ongoing process that God just keeps taking us through every time that we're willing. And even if we're not harbouring sin and resentment and we're not quenching the work of the Holy Spirit, there's still areas that God wants to be working on. He could still be taking stones out of our life. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to lose half the water in the jar before we do anything. You know, we can keep submitting to God. And he'll keep working in and through us. In the spiritual struggle, all of us face a world system that is contrary to the things of God. The power of Satan to tempt us to sin, and a sin nature that wants to lead us back to the old life. The Holy Spirit and His power is the secret of victory. As we yield to Him and allow Him to control, empower, lead and direct our lives once more. Something a preacher once said, and it's always stuck with me. You know, you may have God in your life, but is He in complete control of your life? And he used to say, you know, the Holy Spirit might be resident in your life, but is He the president of your life? And that always used to stick with me and say, yeah, am I just, you know, going along with God in my life, or am I living in a way that wants God to be in complete control? Am I walking in the fullness of the Spirit? That's how we walk in the fullness of the Spirit. We walk with Jesus as our Lord, with the Holy Spirit as the president of our life. How are you walking? Perhaps there's some things that the Holy Spirit has been putting His finger on this morning in your life. Perhaps there are some things that aren't quite yet yielded to the Lordship of Christ. Maybe there's one of those rocks that makes its way partway up the jar or never quite out, but we keep coming back to it and keep saying, Lord, I need your help with this. Maybe it's still there and you need to submit it yet again, even this morning. Well, in a moment, I'm going to give you that opportunity. When you came in this morning, I gave you some paper and a pencil. If you haven't got one, I know there's some at the door. We can get some to you if you put your hand up. Jan's looking to see if anyone hasn't got a piece of paper or a pencil. In the tin at the drawer, there's one there. Now, why have I given you that? Well, something that I find very useful to do is to respond to God when He speaks to me, and to do it physically in some way. And that's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you have been talking to me about this morning? What is this area of my life, perhaps, that I need to yield to you yet again, or maybe even for the first time? And what I want you to do is I want you to write it on that piece of paper as a commitment that says, yep, I'm going to deal with this, Lord, with you. I want you to fix this up, help me. When you've written it on the paper, and you may have more than one, okay, what I want you to do is fold it over. Don't put any names on it. And I want you to come out the front. I'm going to lay this cross down on the table. I'll move this. I've got some hammers and I've got some nails. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to nail that area of your life that you need to yield to the Lordship of Christ. Nail it to the cross. Because when Jesus died on the cross, He died for that area of your life so that you could have it dealt with, so that you could walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You could enjoy the freedom of the salvation that He's given you. I want you to come. We're going to play a CD. I'm going to put two or three songs on it, give you the time, in your own time, to come up. Nail whatever it is that God's put on your heart. Don't sit there and think, oh, no, it doesn't matter, I can talk to God about it later. If God spoke to you about it this morning, you need to deal with it. You need to write it on that piece of paper, fold it over and nail it to the cross, and then you need to leave it there and not pick it up again. Now, anything that's on that piece of wood will not be seen by anyone except you and God. I'm not going to look at it. I will take it away and destroy it afterwards, but I won't look at it. Okay, so it is personal. It's between you and God. But I want you to demonstrate your willingness to say, hey, Lord, I want to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. I don't want anything to stand between me and you. I want to be effective in my Christian life for you. I want to see people impacted in this community for the glory of God. If you are one of those people this morning, then write whatever it is that God's speaking to you about on that paper. Nail it to that cross. And then rejoice in the freedom that God is giving you. Ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit yet again, and rejoice in that freedom that you will experience. In Jesus' name. Amen.